So I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and just verse 16, but let's read a couple or three verses right in there in this passage of Scripture so that we kind of see what Paul is trying to get us to understand here in this Scripture. So in verse 16, the first thing he says is rejoice evermore. The second thing he says is pray without ceasing. And the third thing that he says is in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord concerning you. So I want to focus a little bit this morning on rejoicing evermore. But in order to do that, we all of the other things that we've been talking about, I don't know if y'all went back and listened to last week's sermon, but we talked a little bit about the importance of prayer. It is very important in our life that we express everything that we have, that we express that to the Lord. And we're always talking about being thankful for everything that God does for us. Now, if these two things are working in our life, then the rejoicing comes. But how many times do you look around and even within the body of Christ, you don't really see a lot of happy faces, do you? Why is that? We don't have that rejoicing down pat in our life. If you go back in the book of Proverbs, he says, a merry heart, what? There you go. Doeth good like a medicine. So how great is it to rejoice in the Lord? This helps us not only spiritually, but it helps us physically in our life. So I want to talk a little bit about the importance of our spiritual joy. It is something that is very important to it. So when Paul wrote this to the church at Thessalonica here, when he was talking to these, he said, this is a motivational tool given unto us by God. To be happy, to be full of joy, to rejoice in the Lord. So, but it is a choice. We have to make the choice. When we're thanking God for something, we have to be rejoice and be what? Exceedingly glad, okay? We're going to get to that verse in just a minute. But he said this is all part of how we live our life here up on this earth. So this signifies something that is within. Are you guys excited this morning to be saved? Amen? We rejoice. That makes us happy. We're excited about our salvation and about our eternal relationship with God. I'm excited about that today. We're ready. Paul said, I pray to go, but I pray to stay. He said, I pray to go because I want to be with the Lord. I pray to stay because I need to show somebody the importance of what it takes to be with the Lord. And the only way I can do that is by being happy in the Lord. I have to learn to rejoice. So we have to focus upon the spiritual realities of our life. We focus upon the reality of God's promises. We focus upon the reality of God's love. We focus upon the reality of His grace and His mercy. All of these things that He gives unto us, so that brings to us His saving grace and the hope of our eternal life. And we're excited about that. So we're to choose joy. We choose joy no matter what's going on in our life. We choose joy over trials. We choose joy over tribulations. We choose joy over sufferings. So that as we live our life down here upon this earth, people will be able to see our obedience to the promises and the commandments of God's word. And they see that through the outward expression that we're putting forth. So when you look at another believer in Christ, what do you want to see? I want to see joy. Huh?
You want to see the light?
That's right. I want to see what God has put within them. Let's turn back into Isaiah real quick. Isaiah chapter 61. Let me go back there real quick, because this is not just a New Testament or a New Covenant thing. If you go back into the book of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, here's what he says. Isaiah said, so he's looking at the two different times. See, Christ came the first time as a servant. The second time he's going to come as what? A king. We're rejoicing over that. So he said, I will greatly, I'm not just happy, I'm beyond happy. He said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, because my soul shall be joyful in my God. If you don't have anything else to be happy about today, you can be happy about what? That's right, the Lord in your life, your salvation. I can be happy about that today. I can show others that expression of my salvation. So he said, he hath clothed me with the garments of his salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. So let's jump over to 2 Corinthians real quick. I know I'm going to jump through a few scriptures here, but you can get them later if you don't get them now. But over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, here's what he said. For he hath made him to be... Here's what we're happy about, okay? Pay attention to this. This is why we're so happy in the Lord. He said, because he hath made him, God made his son Christ to be sin for us, the one person that never knew any sin, he made him to be sin for us, that we might be made what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that we might have joy. He done it for our happiness, for our eternal joy. So when we were saved, God said, you are not just forgiven. You all know there's more to your salvation than just being forgiven. He said, you're not just forgiven, but he said, you're blameless now. We walk around as Christians like we're carrying the weight of the world on us all the time, don't we? Because we feel blamed about something. But God said, you're blameless. He said, I lost my teeth. My mouth's kind of dry. I might need a drink of water. Now I'm laughing. Joy. See what I'm saying? Joy. Thank you. Okay. So this is our foundation. This reality of our salvation. This is the foundation. This is our starting point. Okay? If you start out unhappy, you're probably going to end what? Unhappy. But if you start out excited, if you start out rejoicing, what do you think the Holy Spirit is doing dwelling within us? He wants to come out, and we don't let him out. We holding him back. David said that when the Holy Spirit came down in his time, he said what? There was singing, there was dancing, all of these things were going. This was the Holy Spirit wanting out, and he was expressing this through his people. So this is the foundation that we're building upon to become an example of the love of God. The love of God isn't walking around with a frown upon our face. It's walking around rejoicing in the salvation that we have. It's only the beginning, and it's a beginning that has a meaningful purpose, not just in our life, but in the lives of all those around us. So let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. And let's talk about the benefits of rejoicing in the Lord. I'm happy to be here this morning. You know, if everybody was happy to be in church this morning, the church would be what?
Full.
That's right. So, yeah, maybe some people won't like that that's listening, that's not here, but that's okay. They need to hear it, right? If we were rejoicing in the Lord, we would be here, and we would be rejoicing in the Lord together. So this is what this is all about. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and I'm going to start with the greatest benefit of our rejoicing in the Lord. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "Rejoice, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for what? Great is your reward in heaven." One of the greatest benefits of rejoicing in the Lord, or one of the greatest benefits of our salvation, is looking forward to having that eternal hope of our life with God. So when we gather together, let not yourselves what? Forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Why? I don't want you here just so you can be counted as a number on the roll. We gather together so that we can rejoice together, so that we can be happy together, so that we can express our feelings about what it's going to be like one of these days to go on to live with the Lord. Amen. We're motivating one another. We're encouraging one another. Now I'm excited. I want to go out and tell somebody else about what it means to be saved. What it means to have this eternal life ahead of me. So when you look at all around the world, so here's what happens a lot. And we know it happens in the lives of those who do not believe. But what about the life of the believer? When we look at the world around us, when we see tragedies, when we see this, when we see that, when all these things that are going on, instead of rejoicing in the Lord, we suffer through them like everybody else. Why? God didn't say we had to suffer through anything in our life, did he? No, God gave us the power to overcome that. Now, if you want to be a part of that, to use that suffering as an opportunity. But see, we don't even do that. We use that suffering as a time to pity. Oh, I can't make it to church. You know, my cat died. I'm not a cat person. I could use dog. I don't know. But, see, as believers, we're suffering through worldliness, and Christ said, "I overcame that worldliness." Why do we make ourselves suffer through something that Christ overcame for us on the cross? So I would have to ask that question. Why do we do that? Because we haven't learned to rejoice yet. You know, we might say, "Oh, I'm happy about my salvation," or "I rejoice in myself." But truly, we haven't learned to rejoice yet, because we're rooted and grounded in this unshakable reality of God's grace, and I'm good with that. Except, I don't understand God's grace, and I'm afraid to ask somebody. Because I'm a believer, I should know, but I'm afraid to ask somebody, what is God's grace all about? Well, one of the things that it's all about is, he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything be thankful. If you go on down and read, the next line says what? Quench not what? The Spirit of God. So these are all things that ensures us that everything that I go through in my life, every trial, every tribulation, every sacrifice that I think that I have ever made, and I can tell you right now, none of us have made the sacrifice that God made through his son Christ, and he done this so that we can rejoice evermore. Say that with me. Rejoice evermore. That's why we do it. So when we have to learn to maintain this joy in our life. Let's go to Philippians. Somebody tell me what Philippians 4:4 says without looking. Tell me. Come on.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Woo! There we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, let's go read it, okay? Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4. rejoice in the Lord always, and again, and he could just say, again I say rejoice, again I say rejoice, again. So why do we have to be reminded? Because we're sitting around with a lot of sour looks on our face, aren't we? Huh? We're saved by the grace of God, but this isn't showing it. And if you say, why is it not? Well, and you know, the only things that you're going to give me why we're not rejoicing anymore is worldly reasons. That's right. That's right. And there is no worldly fear or worldly reason why I can't rejoice in the Lord. I don't care how bad we think it is. There's no reason for it. But yet we do it every day of our life here upon this earth. So spiritual joy then, it's an attitude. You was ever told when you was growing, I'm told, Nancy tells me all the time, you need an attitude adjustment. And I'm older. But it's an attitude. But it's an attitude that should not come from the world. It's an attitude that should come through the characteristics of God. And we have. See, when the Spirit now dwells within us, this fruit of the Spirit that we have, he gave unto us seven characteristics. And one of them is what?
Joy.
That's right. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. See, nine characteristics. So we, that's the second time I've messed up this morning. Okay, so anyhow, some of the reasons that we don't rejoice anymore, is because we don't put our faith and trust in God the way that he would have us to. So that means everything that I do. And we preached on this for what? 4 weeks in a row. Does anybody remember any of the sermons? No? Okay, that's okay. You didn't have to. I'll do them again sometime. Okay. So it's this joy unspeakable. It's a spiritual grace that God has given unto us. And you know, we just think it's for a time of when we're weak. So when I'm walking through Walmart and I'm feeling okay and things are going, God's doing it, but I don't really have the need to express that. But just think what it would be like if you was walking through Walmart and you got within a bunch of people. You know, when you come up to a bunch of people in Walmart and they're standing in the aisle talking and you can't get through, what do? Huh?
Excuse me.
Well, what a bunch of rude people. What'd you say?
She turns around and goes the other way.
But what if you would just rejoice in the Lord right then? What if you just say, praise the Lord? I guarantee you that aisle would open up in a hurry, wouldn't it? Huh? What? This grace that we have given was given unto us for a reason. We need to learn to use it. Amen? I need to learn to show people what, you know, it just doesn't, it's just not for protection. It's just not for strength. It has a lot of things that God wants us to use it for in our life. And one of the things that he wants us to use it for is it is a great spiritual weapon. What you say? We're not fighting against things of the world, but we're fighting against what? Principalities. Huh? Darkness and principalities. What are we going to fight that with? We're going to fight it with the joy of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
That's how we fight that. Satan doesn't want to see you happy. He's okay with you sitting around with a frown on your face and saying, I wish the preacher would hurry up and get done because, you know, it's the 4th of July. I have a lot of stuff to do today. How many of you is with me? No? You know, one day, and they thought I was all crazy. We was doing a revival. I passed the offering plate, and I don't pass an offering plate. If God's going to provide money, he provides money. But I made everybody put their watch in it. And I'll give them back one of these days. But we spend too much time. You know, this is God's time.
Amen.
You're not on no clock. Oh, preacher, I can't be happy today because if I get happy, so-and-so will get happy. We'll be there for another hour. But we're here to rejoice, to rejoice in the Lord. So let me ask you this. How are we going to maintain this in our life? How are we going to maintain this among all the afflictions, the sufferings, the distresses that we have going on in our life? Why? I tell you why we aren't maintaining it is because we're not focusing on the right thing. We're not focusing on our everlasting hope with God. We're not focusing on his strength, and we're allowing Satan to use worldly deceitful things to bring fear into our minds. And this fear creates barriers in our life that hinders our relationship with God, because now my imagination is just running so wild that I just cannot be happy in the Lord. There should never be a time that we cannot be happy in the Lord. When we're not happy in the Lord, now we're beginning. You know, you're never going to question your faithfulness to God, but when you're not happy in the Lord, you're questioning his faithfulness to you.
You're miserable.
That's right. So we have to fix this. That's why it says, rejoicing in the Lord is a great spiritual weapon that helps us to remain in our close relationship with God.
Amen.
And that's where we need to be. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses here. So he says, starting with verse 16. He said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So don't ever let me hear you say you don't have nothing. Because as believers, God has granted us everything that he wants us to have according to the riches of his glory. And he said he'd done this, and rejoicing is one of those things. He said he'd done this so that we might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit that is dwelling within us. So he said that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, amen, by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, God's love, he might be able to comprehend. So here's where we don't understand grace. Because he said, so that you might be able to comprehend, and there's no limit to this comprehension. Do you see that here? The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. So that we might be able to, so where... we set limitations, okay? I want to understand God's grace, but I only want to understand this much of it, because if I get this much of it, I'm going to have to give up something in my life. And that something is worldly. I want to keep that worldly. You know, if you look back through this holiday weekend, most of the rejoicing that the people in the nation has been doing came from worldly actions. It's sad to say that probably 99% of the rejoicing that went on was from the world. And 1% was God. And that should be the other way around.
We should be 100%.
That's right. So as we look at this in our life, He said, if you're going to understand, he said, you got to go all the way. You got to remove the limits and see the whole picture, okay? The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And he said, when we do this, then we're going to start understanding the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, all right, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you were filled with all the fullness of God this morning, if from the time that you were saved until now, if we would acquire that fullness the way God wants us to, we would be a whole lot different looking believers. But let's just say that everything that you missed out on acquiring from the time you were saved until now, God would dump it on you right now. You would not be sitting in those seats. Huh? No, the rejoicing would be so great that the building couldn't hold you. Amen? Now you're Pentecostal people. I just thought I'd throw that out there. All right? So, that's right. So we need, he says that this that passes the knowledge that we think that we have because he wants us to be filled with the fullness of God. And he said, and to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, he says, unto him be what? Glory. We're going to rejoice. You know, we're always talking about glorifying God, and we're always doing it with a frown on our face. If you're going to glorify God, it should be happy. If you're going to sing praises to the Lord, it should be happy. If you're going to say, I love the Lord, it should be happy. Okay? Everything should be done through rejoicing evermore. So what does it take? Let me just ask you, what does it take to gain that ability in our life? How are you going to get it? Where are you going to start looking for it at? Well, it started with our faith in Christ. That's how we were saved. And from there, and I've said this 100 times, from there, our faith in Christ, in order to be saved, your faith in Christ had to be at 110%. No less would have got you saved. And it should have went up from there. Sadly, it's went down. Because soon as we walked out the door, we quit putting our trust in God. Things of the world began to bring us down. Our rejoicing evermore went from here to here. So we got to get that back. Huh? We want to get it back plus. God wants us to have more than what we started with. So in order to do that, we have to start experiencing. All right? Now, we don't let ourselves experience things because people think I'm crazy, okay? If I start jumping around rejoicing in the Lord, if I start singing praises to God at any old time of the day, if I start doing we're limiting that. So we have to start experiencing that boundless love that God has. Has any of you ever experienced that boundless love? Huh? We would hope that we have from time to time, and we would hope that it would continue. Because it's a love that is surpassed by nothing else. Nothing else can compare to that love. So we have to learn to put away the worldly emotions. That's what covers up our rejoicing in the Lord most of the time. Oh, God wants me to feel sorry for this. He wants me to... No, He doesn't. No. You'll not find one place in the Bible where God said He wants you to experience and enjoy your worldly emotions. Because we got rid of them. Well, that's right. When we took on our new life in Christ, we put those behind us. Now, if God wants you to cry a little bit, He wants you to laugh a little bit, that emotion will come from Him. And at the time that He wants to give it. But we have to follow after what God has in store for us in our life. He's the only one that can fill that fullness. We're not going to find it out there in the world in anything else. So we have to turn over every control, every thought, every imagination has to be turned over to the working of the Holy Spirit so that we might be able to experience that boundless love. And anything that we take on of ourselves to control hinders that experience. And we do it every day in our life. Every day in our life. So, God's plan was never to restrict our rejoicing. God's plan was never to restrict our prayer. God's plan was never to restrict our study time. God's plan was never to restrict our obedience to Him. I just love it when people say, oh, God told me not to do that. I'm not sure where that comes from. The only thing God told me not to do was what? Sin. Stay away from sin. Everything else, I want you to be a part of your life so that you might learn to rejoice and rejoice evermore. I mean, it's a constant thing that's going on in our life. In the book of John. Let's go to John real quick. In the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15 verses 10 and 11. Here's what he says. So here's what it takes. If you want to keep this resource going of being happy in the Lord. He says, if you keep my commandments, all right? So now we've got to be obedient to the promise and the commandments of God's word. So my thing is now, well, if I don't read that one, then God won't hold that one against me. Does any of you believe that? Or is that just in your mind? If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I. Now pay attention to this. When Christ walked upon this earth. Now let's make this. We know this one thing for sure. Christ took upon our sin. And paid our sin debt. Christ never became a sinner. Okay. So I say this all the time. And people just give me this funny look. Because I get all these people that always come up to me and say, oh, I'm just still an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you and me serving different gods. Because when I was saved by grace, I'm no longer classified as a sinner. That's right. Christ never became a sinner just because he took upon the sin of the world. We, once we gave up that, and took upon the righteousness of Christ, I'm not going to go back and take on the role of a sinner again. I might sin, but I'm not going to go back and take upon that role upon myself again. So this is what he's talking about here. He said, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And listen to this part. He said, these things. So this is why we're learning. This is why we need this teaching, this understanding. He said, because these things have I spoken unto you. This is the reason he wants us to be obedient to the promises and commandments of the word. He says, so that my joy might remain in you. Okay? Might remain. When we took up on the righteousness of Christ, we took up on the same joy. We took upon the same rejoicing. Even it says when he suffered in rejoicing, in joy, because he was doing it for the Father. So he said that my joy, the joy that I gave you through your salvation, that it might remain. Not that it can be taken away, but so that it won't be hindered. So that we won't let the things of the world hinder it. So he said, might remain in you, and that your joy, the joy that I have given you, might remain full. So where are we at on that this morning? How full, when you came through the door of the church this morning, how full was your joy? Well, probably because of worldly circumstances and different things that hindered our joy, it probably wasn't real full, was it? But we need joy. Joy didn't come from anything that you or I done. Joy came from Christ through salvation. He gave us that. And the only reason that we can't experience it is when we choose to allow the world to hinder that in our life. So what he's telling us is we need to push that stuff out. Get it out of the way so that, you know, every challenge, every day, if you look at the life of Christ when he walked upon this earth, Christ was a servant and he went through a lot of sufferings. What does that tell you? We're going to go through a lot of sufferings. But that doesn't have to hinder our joy.
No.
That doesn't have to. When we go through challenges and hardships in our life, our joy should remain full. Because that's what he gave us. A fullness of his joy through God's love. So the reason it doesn't always remain full is because a lot of times I look at my service to God, you know, it's burdensome sometimes. Or sometimes it's just a chore. Huh? God ever tell you to sit down and read your Bible and you, oh Lord, I don't know about that today. See, we look at it as a chore. We look at it as a burden. Well, I can't get up and go to church. I've got this and this and this and this. So we're not looking at it the way God wants us to see it. Our life in Christ is not a burden. It's not a chore. It's a joy. So that we might rejoice evermore. And you know, the more that we put into that, the more we're going to get out of it. We'll be a lot happier believers, let me tell you. When we can all start coming through the door singing and whistling and shaking hands and hugging one another and yeah, if there's somebody new here, they'll think you're crazy. But when we can start doing that, our joy is starting to remain where God wants it, full. We don't let the afflictions, the having to walk with a cane, that's all part of sufferings that we're going to go through in life. And we're going to go through them. But it doesn't have to take away our joy.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit doesn't want it to take away our joy. So here, pay attention to this. God's joy is a promise that he gave unto us. And it's not just a promise. It's actually an action of that promise that he gave unto us. And he said, I gave this unto you. And he said, it can never be stolen away from you. Never. Never. So why do sometimes I feel like somebody stole my joy? It's because I made the choice to follow after some worldly circumstance that I'm going through and not remain in the joy. That's right. And not remain with God. But he said, I can promise you this right now that it cannot be taken away.
Amen.
We are secure in our salvation. We are secure in the joy of the Lord. In the book of Psalm, last scripture I'll read. The book of Psalm. Psalm 118. This is a familiar verse. Y'all should know it. Psalm 118, 24. And he said, this is what? Let's say this together. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that should be every day, because we should recognize every day as a gift from God. We don't always do that. Now, we recognize the gift of being here every day, but we don't always recognize it as being a gift from God. Because if we recognize it as being a gift from God, we would know that it is a gift that he has given us to share. You know, we're pretty stingy with our life. God gave me another day, I'm going to keep it to myself. That's not why God gave us another day. God gave us another day to share. So that means we're going to choose joy. Regardless of anything else that's going on in our life, you just say that in the morning when I get up, regardless of anything else that's going on in my life, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And when something, a challenge or a circumstance or a situation comes my way, I'm still going to what? Rejoice in the Lord. I'm not going to let those things overpower me. So when we begin to acknowledge this in our life, then we begin to acknowledge that God has control of our life. You know, we don't always acknowledge that. God's in control of everything that's going on in your life, but we don't always acknowledge it. That's right. We've got to acknowledge that in our life. And when we begin to do that, then we're going to learn that spiritual joy means that we're beginning to appreciate our life in Christ. When we're not happy, we're not appreciating our life in Christ. And you know what that does? If you go back over to Thessalonians, it's right, we're quenching the spirit. And that's one of the things he says not to do. Do not quench the spirit. So every day God makes glorious. Every day. I don't care if it's raining, the sunshine, if it's hot, it's cold. Every day God makes that day glorious. And you know what it took to give us that glorious day? For every day in our life to be glorious, what did it take? It took God giving everything that he had as a sacrifice so that you and I might be happy. So that you and I might be able to rejoice evermore. It took everything. There's nothing else that God could give for our joy. And he done it so that we might rejoice evermore. If that ain't enough motivation to keep us going throughout the day, I don't know what else it would take to motivate us. It was the sacrifice of his son so that we don't have to sacrifice. And we can stand and say, I can rejoice evermore in the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of the day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation, for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Lord, for those things that keep us, Heavenly Father, in your joy so that our joy might remain full. And we would just pray this day, Lord, that we would learn to show that joy to others. Those around us, Heavenly Father, Lord, that those within the same body of Christ, those without the body of Christ, Lord, that need to see that, Lord. They need to see your joy in our life to help understand what salvation truly is all about. So we just pray today that you would forgive us, Lord, for there are many things in our lives that hinder our rejoicing. And Lord, that as we bring those things to you, Lord, we know that if we'll confess our sins to you, Lord, that you are faithful and just, and you'll cleanse us, Lord, from that unrighteousness. And Lord, restore the fullness of that joy within us. So I would pray this day, Lord, that that's willingly we would seek after you. Willingly, Lord, we would want to rejoice in our salvation, in the fullness of your joy, so that others might see your good works through us. And we just pray this day, Lord, as we take this out into the world around us, that our light might so shine before others that they would see your goodness, Heavenly Father, Lord, and want to turn and accept thee before it is everlasting too late. Forgive us once again, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to have a song.
368.
If you're here this morning and you need that joy restored, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, we certainly invite you to come and talk to the Lord. He's the only one that can restore His fullness into your life. 368. Okay, you may be seated for a moment. We are going to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. So if I would have a couple volunteers, please. So while they're passing that out, our scripture is going to come from Mark this morning. And I want to read the first part of this in Mark chapter 14. It says, "In the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And he said, They begin to be sorrowful, and saith unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." So Christ, even knowing that he was going to be betrayed, gave a chance to repent, to make things right. So everything that we do in our life, as believers, God always gives us a chance to repent and make things right. So I want you to take this moment this morning and just take a moment to talk to the Lord and just tell Him if there's anything in your life, those things that are a hindrance, ask Him to show those things to you. And then show through the workings of His Holy Spirit how to take care of those things in a way or in a manner that is pleasing unto Him. So let's just take a moment in silence and just spend that with the Lord for just a minute. Okay, if you'll all stand with me this morning. And starting in verse 22 of Mark 14, he says, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's have a volunteer to pray, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for loving us enough to send your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, I cannot begin to imagine what that actually cost you. But I am so thankful that you loved me enough and that you loved each and every one of us enough that you would do that for us. Lord, I ask that you can help us to always put you first in our life, to be the example for you that we need to be in this dark and dingy world. Lord, we ask you to watch over us and take care of us and always keep us safe.
Amen. Amen. So if you have your song, does all of you have a copy of the song in your...
They should be in...
Yeah, that's right.
So it says, "Here I am, Lord," is the name of it. And let's sing this with some rejoicing in our heart this morning. Amen. Amen. Does anybody else have anything this morning quickly?
I thought of something a minute ago and now I forgot. It'll come back to me when I least expect it.
Okay. All right, we're going to end. Can you?
Oh, I know. What does it mean when a preacher looks at his watch?
Absolutely nothing.
I don't wear one, so. All right. Lead us in the doxology, somebody.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And the church said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.